Church. I'm lead pastor Matt Blair, and we are so glad that you're here today. If you're a guest visiting with us, thank you for being here. If I did not get a chance to meet you yet this morning, I'll be here at the front of the stage after service today, and I would love to get a chance to meet you, just to spend a few minutes with you. I'd love to hear the story of how you ended up here this morning. We say this all the time, but it's really true. You know, you could have chosen to be anywhere else in the world today, but for whatever reason, you're here, and for this next hour, we want to lead you into a conversation about what God's up to in your life and what God's up to in our life. And so I'm glad that you're here today. Also want to welcome all those watching online at solacechurch.com. Again, we just say thank you for being a part of our online community today, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for choosing to tune in this morning. And I might just say this again, we say this kind of on a regular basis, but if you are watching online, please know that we recognize that while the online community is a great opportunity for those who are away or sick, we believe that the online community is no replacement for the local church and being connected at the local church level. So we encourage you to be a part of a local church, especially if you're a part of Solace Church. Hurry back soon. So here we go. We're in like week four of a series called Healthy Homes. In this series, we're kind of just walking through the rooms of our homes, and we're learning a principle or an idea around that room, and then we're learning how it applies to our marriage or our family. We've gone through, let's see, three rooms so far. We've gone through the living room, the kitchen, and the closet. If you haven't heard any of those messages, you can always go online to solacechurch.com. You can hear the audio podcast, or also we have available a video podcast as well for you to watch if you'd prefer watching it, the video link. So you can go online, you can find out all that information there. If you missed a week, you definitely want to check this out, because I believe marriage health and family health is so critical to our church, to our nation, and to our individual lives as well. So we're going to spend some time today on this fourth room, which is the master bedroom. Master bedroom is that place where the husband and wife take off their work clothes and put on their night clothes. That place where they lay down in bed together. The lights are off. The mood is set just right. I guess what I'm saying is the master bedroom is all about sleep. Come on now. That's some truth in our homes and our families. Here's the truth though. It really shouldn't be about sleep. It ought to be about intimacy. Intimacy. Okay, so here's the deal. Here's what I know. Some of you are already deeply disappointed with what I just did. You're like, Matt, look, you had me going. You had it all set up. You had the moment to hit the home run message, and you dropped the ball. All right, so if you're feeling that this morning, we wanted to try to create a little bit of environment for you to begin to think about the master bedroom. But I think, honestly, one of the things we do wrong in the whole conversation about the master bedroom is we make it about one thing, and it's not the right thing. So I want to do this morning as we just kind of talk through this today. As we think about the master bedroom, I want you to think about this reality. Some of you are like, Matt, come on, just say it. That's that word. We need that in our marriage. The guys, you're like, come on, Matt, this is the week to talk about that. And so if that's you this morning, you're mildly disappointed for sure. And if you think the master bedroom is just about sex, you would be so wrong. See, the truth of the matter is, if the master bedroom is simply about sex, then we miss the real picture of what God desires for a husband and wife that this room really speaks to. Please hear me today, and we're going to talk about sex before it's all said and done. And if you have, you know, young kids in the room and you don't think it's appropriate conversation to talk about sex, then this would be a good time to kind of just take them on out of the room. But if you think it's appropriate, that's totally fine as well. This is going to be very, very raw, very, very just like, hey, we're going to talk about real life today. So this is your disclaimer. If you stay, it's based on your permission for them to stay. I want to talk about, just for a moment, because I think sometimes we make the master bedroom just about this one thing about sex. I just want you to hear this before we go any further. Sex is a vehicle for achieving a greater purpose in your marriage relationship. Sex is not the end. Sex is one means to an end. So God's greatest desire for my marriage and for your marriage relationship is not simply that we would be having sex. God's design and greatest desire for our marriage relationship is greater than that. Now, I want to show you in Scripture what the master bedroom really, really is all about. What it really should exemplify in our marriage relationships. Look with me in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus is asked a question, is it lawful for me to divorce my wife for any and every reason? And Jesus says that, you know, that in the beginning it was not that way, that God made them male and female. And then he says in verse number 5, these powerful words. He says, for this reason, a man would leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Critical part of the verse. They are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Notice in the text that Jesus did not say, for this reason, a man leaves his father and mother and has sex with his wife. Leave father and mother and be united with his wife, and then the two would become one. Now, in the act of consummation, in the act of sex, there is a joining together physically of the bodies. That's one of the ideas God has here, but there's a much bigger picture here of what God's trying to speak into the marriage relationship. God's greatest desire, and if you're writing things down, I just want you to write this down. God's greatest desire or greatest purpose for you in marriage is oneness. It's oneness. And if we make it about the wrong thing, we put all the emphasis on an avenue and not the ultimate purpose. And I would say to you today that the greatest thing you can do for your marriage relationship is not just simply having sex, which we'll talk about, but more than that, it's to create oneness in the relationship. God's design for your marriage and my marriage is that two people would become one. And this is the idea of intimacy. Now, here's what I know. Because one of my most incredible privileges of being your pastor is that you have come to me many of you have come to me and you said, Pastor, we are struggling in our marriage relationship. And right now at our church, we actually have an individual that we encourage people to go to because we feel like that having a professional do it is better than having a pastor do it. And so we actually outsource marriage counseling here at our church for that reason. We've also learned this truth that oftentimes when people come to the pastor and they share their struggles, that they end up leaving the church because for some reason they don't feel like they can come anymore and just be normal and be themselves and be broken. And I would just say to you that that's one of the reasons why we choose to do that. But I do know this, we struggle greatly with intimacy in our marriage relationships. There are lots of you in the room today, lots of you in the room who are struggling with closeness in the relationship. Last week I shared with you, I talked about how many of us go on a spiritual journey where we give our life to Christ and we're close to him in a relationship, but along the way, there's some distance that's created. And so at one point in our life, we feel very connected with God. And then through a series of events, through long periods of time, sometimes we feel very distant from God. Well, just like that's true spiritually in our relationship with God, it's also true in our relationships with our husbands and wives as well, with our spouse. The truth of the matter is, in this room right now, there are some couples that you have been married months, years, decades, and when you started out, things were so healthy and so good. I mean, your spouse was the most incredible person God ever placed on the planet. And after years of being with your spouse and after years of difficulties and years of trials and years of raising kids or whatever it is for you, you feel like you and your spouse are on other planets. There's not closeness in the relationship. There's incredible distance in the relationship. And so just like this happens with God, so too it happens in our marriage relationships. There's some people right now sitting next to one another and you feel no closeness to the person you're sitting next to. And so I want to speak to you today if that is you. And I want to just encourage you to think about what it means to have a relationship that has closeness, that has oneness, that's built on intimacy. And so here's the truth. Some of you are not in that situation. Some of you, quite honestly, that you would think about your marriage relationship and you would say, Matt, you know, we're not dysfunctional there. We like each other. We're friends. You know, we're on this journey together. But we recognize that we can do better. We recognize that we can experience more growth, more closeness, more intimacy in our relationship. And so here's the deal. If you're here this morning and quite honestly, you're sitting next to someone you don't even know very well anymore, your spouse, or you're sitting next to someone that you feel like, man, we can do better, I want to really encourage encourage you. If you're here today and your spouse is encouraging you to have conversations, hey, let's talk about our relationship, or maybe, hey, let's go to the marriage conference. Thank you, by the way, for the 80 couples in our church that went to the marriage conference. Jennifer and I were there. It was a whole lot of fun. We laughed a lot and learned about our relationships and spent the night in a hotel without kids. That's a win. Like, just that, if nothing else happened, just that was amazing. And so some of you have this spouse, and I just want to speak to you for a minute. Some of you have a spouse, and they're saying, hey, let's go further in our relationship. Let's learn some more. Let's read a book. Let's do a devotional. Or let's go to that whole Healthy Home series. Or maybe, hey, let's just go get some help outside. Let's go talk to some professional about this. And if your spouse is interested in that, and you're resistant to that, let me just encourage you today to not resist those conversations and those pursuits. If your spouse is eager to grow, let me encourage you to come along on that journey. You may not be totally dysfunctional, totally falling apart, as some of us get from time to time, but all of us have room to grow. So this morning, we're going to talk about intimacy. And here's what I know already. If you're a dude, or you're, a woman who is a strong-willed, independent, and you don't cry very much, and, you don't fit that, that model of tenderness. Some of you women are just like that. When you hear about intimacy, you're just like, this is sickening. I mean, another conversation about, how I'm supposed to, become this mushy, romantic, just ridiculous, lose myself and lose my identity so that my wife or my husband can now think that I'm okay type conversation, right? So intimacy for you is a miserable topic. And so if that's you, if you're like a guy and you like hunt and you like fish and you like NASCAR and you like sports and you're like a man's man, when you talk about intimacy, you're just like, yeah, sorry, you married the wrong dude. If that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you to just stop for a moment and think about what intimacy really means. As a matter of fact, I would say to you that when we hear the word intimacy, I think we probably attach the wrong definition to it. When we hear that God's greatest purpose for our marriage relationship is oneness, and intimacy is really that avenue by which we achieve oneness, that I think sometimes we misrepresent what intimacy really is. And so when God says, leave mom and dad, cleave to wife, be united to wife, and the two become one, I think we miss the first part of that. So for those of you who are worried about the topic today, I want to spend just a minute setting the definition of intimacy. There's quite a few definitions in the Webster's Dictionary of intimacy, or in dictionaries about intimacy, but one of the definitions I think is most powerful, that really speaks to what maybe spiritual intimacy is a lot like, is this picture of a scientific definition. One of the definitions to describe intimacy is the intermingling of particles together. Intimacy is that these individual particles bump up against one another, rub against one another, cross each other's path. They're working together. The picture here is that independent particles are engaging in activity together. They are bumping up against one another, no pun intended. They are in community doing things on the same page, kind of in a rhythm. If you study Scripture, you see that God gives us the picture of what intimacy is in his own person and nature. We believe in the Trinity. We just sang about that. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is the perfect picture of what intimacy really should look like. So what's going on in the Trinity? There are three fiercely independent persons who are deeply connected and who are in sync, who operate with intimacy, therefore achieving unity. Let me just unpack that again. Three fiercely independent persons who are deeply connected, who are in sync and rhythm, who are in an intimate relationship, deeply connected, so much so, think about this, that we can call three persons one God. That is the picture of intimacy in Scripture. You don't lose yourself in intimacy. You offer yourself in intimacy. The Father is uniquely different in his personhood, and the Son is uniquely different in his personhood, and the same with the Holy Spirit. So for those of you who think intimacy is somehow losing yourself and becoming this whole different person along the way, it's not true. Intimacy says, I'm willing to offer the real me to the real you. So we're not losing ourselves, we're offering ourselves, and we're allowing ourselves to be known, and we're longing to know our spouse. Intimacy is being willing to interweave our life with our spouse. Now, some of you may be wondering this morning, why is the conversation about intimacy in marriage so important? And let me just give you the reason why intimacy conversations are so critical. Because intimacy brings a richness to marriage that nothing else on earth can bring. Let me say that again. Intimacy, oneness, closeness in a marriage relationship brings a richness that nothing on this earth can bring to a marriage relationship. It's the difference between, hear me, staying married because you have to and staying married because you want to. Some of you right now are in a marriage relationship and you feel like you're stuck. And you feel like, well, I said this I'll do until death and all this stuff. And maybe you grew up in a good Baptist church somewhere outside of Solace Church. And you heard that you don't get divorced no matter what. You stay married and you stay committed and you made vows and you made a covenant. And so you're feeling like, okay, I have to do that because, you know, pastor, whoever told me so. So you feel like you're stuck. Now, here's the truth. You ready? Covenants should matter. Vows should matter. And yes, you should be committed till death no matter what the storms look like in life. But how miserable is it to stay married because you have to? Wouldn't it be so much better if you could stay married because you want to? That's the difference between lack of intimacy and intimacy. It's a difference between being married to someone you call your best friend and being married to someone you say, I probably made a mistake in marrying them. Truth is, there's some people in the room right now, you think about your marriage relationship and you go, man, I messed it up. I married the wrong person. We have nothing in common. We can't talk. We don't do anything together. I married the wrong person. Let me tell you what intimacy does. Intimacy takes you from, I made a mistake, to, I can't believe I get to spend my life with you. Intimacy is the difference between hiding myself and being naked and unashamed. Here's the truth. Some of you in your homes right now, let's just be real. Some of you, you're totally not comfortable with even taking your clothes off. You try to like go to the closet, take your clothes off, turn all the lights off, jump into bed. Because you are scared to death for whatever reason to even show your physical nakedness to your spouse. It's the difference between being okay being naked in front of one another. Do you know that's what God said that the marriage relationship would be? He would leave mom and dad, cleave to his wife, and the two would become one flesh. In the very next part of that verse, they were naked and unashamed. That's what intimacy brings, a willingness to be naked and even emotionally naked and vulnerable in front of your wife or your husband and feeling no shame because of it. Some of you don't have that today. Quite honestly, if you just kind of just drill down to the bottom, it's the difference between existing in a marriage relationship and thriving in a relationship. It's the truth. It's the difference between existing and thriving. And so today, for the next few minutes, I want to get very, very practical with you. Because here's the truth. God desires for your marriage relationship to achieve oneness, intimacy, closeness. God wants for Matt and Jennifer Blair, my wife, myself, to have a relationship that's deep, that's connected, that we're intimate with one another in so many different ways, and I'll explain to you what those are in just a minute. God desires that for my relationship, and hear me, God desires that for your marriage. But how many of you know that along the way, there are intimacy thieves that rob our marriage relationships from the intimacy God has designed for our marriage relationships? Truth of the matter is, the bedroom is maybe one of the most awkward place in the entire house for some of you because there is no intimacy. And so I want to talk this morning just very practically. And so here we go. Here's the like just gut level conversation, okay? That's the theology. Now let's just talk about our marriage relationships. There are, I think, five different intimacy thieves that rob our marriage relationships. And I just want to take time this morning to go through this. Let's don't hurry through this. Let's talk about those things that rob our marriages from intimacy, from oneness, from closeness. So if you're writing things down, we're just going to cover five of them, no particular order. I think the first one is ignorance. So here's the truth. Some of us honestly don't have any idea what makes our spouse feel connected. And that was me the first 5 years of my marriage relationship. I've been married 13 years, now going on 14 years. Wow, that's amazing. For the first 5 years of my marriage relationship, I literally had no idea what made my wife tick. I had no clue what it was that made her really feel like I loved her, like she was connected to me in a relationship. I thought I knew. Anybody been there? Like, I thought I knew what drove her, but what I began to realize is how I experience intimacy or closeness with her is not how she experienced closeness and intimacy with me. And so all I was doing is doing what I knew to do, how I felt close to her. And she was totally on a different page. And so for the first 5 years, Jennifer and I struggled greatly in our marriage relationship feeling close. You know what? Full confession, for the first 5 years of my marriage relationship, I thought I married the wrong person. And some of you who know my wife are like, you're the dumbest guy on planet Earth. Are you an idiot? And I would say to you, yes, I was absolutely an idiot. It's because we were not connected the way God designed for us to be connected. We didn't know. And so I just want to, wives, hear me this morning. If you have not heard anything else I say, please hear this. On the idea of ignorance, hear me. Your husband does not know. I don't care if you think he should know. He does not know. The only way he is going to be able to know how you feel most connected in the relationship is when you tell him clearly, not using the word, huh, or fine, but specific words as to what it is that makes you feel most connected. He needs you to be perfectly clear. Husbands, let me give you some advice this morning. Your wife does not know. She does not know just automatically what it is that makes you feel most connected to her. She will not know unless you tell her what it is that makes you feel most connected. For whatever reason, I don't know where this came from, but I think we think our spouses should just automatically know. We assume that there's this level of intelligence about relationships. It just comes naturally. It does not. It does not come naturally. And so here's what I would say. Ignorance is an intimacy thief for a season in a marriage. And I think everyone goes through a period of time of discovery trying to figure out, you know, what this whole relationship looks like and how my wife ticks and how my husband ticks and all that stuff. So intimacy truly is a marriage or an intimacy thief. And here's what I would say about that. If you're struggling in intimacy because, and maybe you just don't know, here's what I would say. Have you ever asked your wife or your husband, what is it that makes you feel most connected to me? What is it that I can do that makes you feel most connected to me? Have you ever asked that question? If you haven't asked it, then you're still in ignorance. And then the second thing I would say is, have you ever been specific? Have you ever actually told your wife, your husband, what it is that makes you feel most connected? If you haven't done those two things, then there's still ignorance in the relationship, and there's intimacy that's lacking in your marriage relationship. All right, so I want to just kind of just do away with the ignorance thief this morning, okay? I just want to kind of put it to bed, put it to rest in this whole, like, we were operating on ignorance and we just didn't know. So if you're in the room today, you cannot walk out and say, I didn't know. And here's how. Because I'm going to give you some of the most critical intimacy avenues that exist within a marriage relationship. I was tempted this morning to try to separate those out, to say, all right, this is the way guys work and this is the way girls work. But I've been in this long enough, and I'm only 36, but I've been in this whole journey long enough to know that it is totally inappropriate to put all guys in one box and all girls in another box. As I said, there's some guys in here that you're the strong, strong-willed, stubborn, powerful, dominant. You don't cry because your dad told you never cry. And you know what? There's some women in here just like that. You're the strong-willed, dominant, and you don't cry because your dad told you you're not supposed to cry, and you're the strong-willed person. And so you may act more like the dude in the relationship. You may have to be married to a guy who just falls over and he cries at the drop of a hat. So I recognize that, I mean, you can't just put people in boxes. So I'm not going to do that. What I am going to do is I'm going to tell you, generally speaking, what I've heard time and time again in my office about what a husband or a wife wants, longs for in feeling connected with their spouse. So here we go. Ignorance is no longer bliss, and ignorance is not a real answer anymore after today. All right, so I'm just going to give you a few of them. Ready? Here we go. Intimacy avenues for marriage relationships. What I've heard as a pastor, number one, I've heard talking beyond the transactional level. There are some of you in the room today that right now in your marriage relationship, what's going on is this is the conversation. Hey, how was your day? Where are we taking the kids? What's for dinner? Good night. That's as far as your conversations are going. And there's some husbands or some wives out there right now who are dying to go beyond the transactional level conversation in the home. They are begging for you to sit down with them and say, can I see your soul? Can I see your heart? Can I hear your hopes, your dreams, your fear? Can we talk about values? Can we talk about where we're going in our relationship? Can we have a good conversation about money? Can we have authentic, real, gut-level conversations? This is conversation, talking beyond the transactional level. And intimacy happens when conversation goes beyond, where are we taking the kids to? Let me see your heart. Let me hear your heart. And some of you are dying for that conversation today. So I would say talking beyond the transactional level is one of those. I think another one is common interest or common projects. This is another avenue for intimacy. All right, I want to be careful here. And just to give you some insight into my world, my wife and I are totally different people. Completely different. We don't like the same foods. If it's green, she eats. If it's green, I reject it. That's basically our conversations. I mean, on the menu, she orders everything I would never think to order. The conversation about let's share food has really never happened in our relationship. Like, you get whatever you want, I'm going to get the cheeseburger. Right? That's just the way it goes. And we've tried to find common project or common hobbies as well, common interests. And she loves biking and hiking and running. And I'm like, those are miserable. It takes effort to do all that. And I'm like, let's just go, you know, play golf and ride in the cart or watch football. I mean, we're just totally different. I can't tell you the number of times my wife has said to me, man, I just wish we had a hobby together. What is she saying to Matt? She's saying, this is where I feel close to you. When we're doing this together. Now, we're working on that. We're a work in progress. We don't have this all figured out. We're working on what is that hobby? What is that interest that we can be passionate about together? One of the things I think would be along those lines, it may be expensive, but we love seeing historical sites and national parks. So we have this huge desire to visit every single national park in the United States before we die. I got to get a second job, but that's at least what we're going to try to do, all right? That's us. I got to say, projects are really hard for us. When we try to do projects together, she's like an engineer mind. She knows how to put things together exactly right the first time. Almost inevitably, I'm going to put something on backwards when I try to assemble it almost every single time. And so it drives her crazy. She's like, just get out of the way. Let me do it. Can you believe that? She's the dude in the relationship. She's like, get out of my way. Give me that power saw. I'll rip that. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh. So projects for us are really, really difficult. But the truth of the matter is we're searching for that thing because it's very important for my wife. We're searching for that thing that draws us together so that we can just do it together. She loves finding something of common interest. Some of you are wired that way and you're desperately asking your spouse, hey, can we just get on the same page in some area of our life? Okay, so a couple of pieces of advice there just quickly because I know I've got a whole lot to cover and not a lot of time. All right, a couple of pieces of advice. Number one, let me just ask you to compromise on this. It's very possible that if you love golf and your wife can't stand golf, that she'll never become a golfer. Don't ask her to become a golfer. It's very possible that if you love shopping and your spouse does not love shopping, that your spouse is probably not going to come along with you on a shopping trip, all right? Don't expect those kinds of things. Find something else that draws you together. There's some other area in your life that you can be drawn together in, so look for that, okay? So common interest. I would also argue that quality time is another one of those intimacy avenues. You know what? Sometimes you don't have to say a word to your spouse. So there's a husband or wife out there, and again, listen, this is a little bit mushy, but there's a husband, wife out there. All they want to do is just sit on the couch, no TV, no cell phones, no internet, no tablet, no computer. They're just sitting or laying down, maybe on your lap, her head or his head across your lap, and you're just running your fingers through her hair, his hair, whatever it is. They just want to be there in your presence. Just quality time together. It's an intimacy avenue. I would say another one is affirmation. There's a husband or wife out there, truly, they're longing for their spouse to say, I believe in you. I'm proud of you. I'm excited to be in this relationship. I love you. You're a great husband. You're a great father. You're a great wife. You're a great mom. You're so amazing. They want those words so desperately. And if words of affirmation do not come naturally for you, if you like think that's a waste of time, like I'd rather talk about what we can get done rather than how great you are, you totally miss how critical it is for those who thrive on affirmation. You miss the value of pouring into them words of life and affirmation. It draws them closer to you in a relationship. They feel most connected to you when you're pouring those kinds of words in. And I would also add the last one on this avenues for intimacy. I would also include sex. Okay, let's just be real honest for a couple of minutes. Many, many couples struggle sexually. Many couples struggle in the bedroom sexually. There's a host of reasons. I want you to understand this today. Sex is non-negotiable in Scripture. The only reason that I can think that you would not be, that you would get off the hook, if you will, for having sex is if there is a geographical or physiological problem that would keep you from being able to have sex. In those situations, God is gracious, and you'll have to demonstrate grace to your spouse if that's the situation. But beyond that, sex is a critical part of intimacy in the relationship. You ought to be having sex on a regular basis. We say this a lot of our church, but there's a biological, physiological kind of rhythm in a man's world where it's about every 3 days there's this increase in sex drive. And so if you ignore that, you're ignoring it to your own detriment. Sex on a regular basis is healthy for relationships. Wives, hear me. Your husband probably is not a pervert. Your husband is just driven sexually. Guys think about sex most of the time throughout the day. It's on their mind. We were having a conversation yesterday at the marriage conference, and the wife was saying, Carmen and Kent were the speakers at it, and Carmen said, how often do you think about sex? Just tell me, like, every time you think about sex. Just give me a nod. And he said, now? 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 And she was like, oh, my gosh. No, that's just how we're wired. If that's weird to you, I'm sorry. You may never think about it. You may think about it once a month or whatever it is. A lot of guys are driven this way, and some women are driven this way. So sex is a critical, critical part. Don't deprive your relationship of sexual intimacy. Have sex. Make it fun. Make it enjoyable. Keep the lights on. Take the covers off. Enjoy it. God gave it to you for your pleasure. You could have gave me a hand clap on that. Thank you. Thank you. All right, now, that's just number one. We got four more, and I'm going really, really quick through the last four. Not that they're not important, but I just wanted to deal with the ignorance problem first, because we're not going to be ignorant any longer about what it means to be intimate in our relationships. Okay, here we go quickly. Number two is busyness. Number two is busyness. All right, let me give you a glimpse into some of the homes here today. Here's what it looks like in our homes. One or both of you get up early. You either work out or you get ready for work. You leave. You go to work all day. And then you come home. And then you get your kids to their activities. Before you do that, you cook a meal, or you, at the activity, eat a meal. And then after the activities, many of you are in this situation, this season of life, you come home, you get the kids ready for bed, you clean the house up as best you can, and you fall asleep in your bed exhausted from the day. That's what about 50, 60, 70% of us look like in our homes and our families. We are so exhausted from the pace of life we're keeping. Exhausted. I'm going to give you a phrase just quickly this morning if you're writing something down. Write this down. If you're that couple, here's a phrase, unhurried time. If you are too busy, we learned this yesterday, that couples with young children, Jade Trivia paid off yesterday, couples with young children, on average per day, spend 4 minutes of time together, uninterrupted time. Are you kidding me? 4 minutes? If you are so busy that you cannot find time to be unhurried before your spouse, you are too busy. And you need to say no to something at work, or no to a kid's activity, or no to an event in your life. This is a non-negotiable. Your marriage relationship is priority over your schedule, your busyness, your activities, your job. Say no to your boss. Say, no, I'm going home on time today. No, I'm not working overtime. I'm going home and I'm being with my wife, or I'm being with my husband. No, kid, you cannot sleep in our bed tonight. Mommy and daddy are going to be by ourselves in our bed. You can clap for that. No, you can't sleep in our bed. No, you're going to bed at 8:30 so we can have some time together. All right, if you have teenagers, just tell them, hey, look, you don't need to know what's going on. We're closing the door, okay? You guys go play your stuff. I'm going in the bedroom. Spend the time together by yourself, unhurried. All right, number three, instant gratification. Third robber, intimacy thief is instant gratification. Here's the truth. Some of us aren't willing to put in the time and energy to invest in our spouse, and so we find cheap roads for intimacy, personal intimacy. And I want to give you a phrase. It's called pseudo-intimacy. You're not getting real intimacy, closeness, and oneness in your marriage. You're finding it in some other avenue, and it's a quick fix. It's a fast fix, but it robs you ultimately of the real intimacy God wants for your marriage relationship. Let me just give you three pseudo-intimacy avenues that we try to pursue in our lives. Number one is pornography. Hear me. Pornography is a shortcut to intimacy. It gives you a very quick satisfaction, but ultimately it robs your marriage relationship of the real oneness God created. You cannot join yourself to in the pornographic world and expect to be united with your spouse as well. It doesn't happen. You disconnect from her so that you can connect, or him, to connect to the pornographic world. Hear me, pornographic is an epidemic in our society today. And by the way, I used to be able to say it's just a man problem. In our society today, with the cell phones and tablets and all that's available, it's becoming a woman problem as well. Something like 40% of women view pornography or have viewed pornography, and I think the statistics are even that high for those who even view it like on a regular basis. So just know it's not just a man problem anymore. Pornography is an intimacy thief. It's instant gratification, but it's deathly to your marriage relationship. Number two is chatting and texting. Some of you are engaged in chatting online, social medias, or even texting. Hear me. If you chat, email, or text, it ought to be transactional. Hey, this is what I have to do. Can you go, whatever? This is the information I need to relay to you. If it goes beyond transactional to emotional or flirting or anything else, it's inappropriate. It's robbing you of intimacy in your marriage relationship, and it should not be a part of your routine. Number three, erotica books. You weren't ready for that. Hear me. 50 Shades of Grey just came out on the theaters this weekend. I read your Facebook post. Many of you posted about it. Here's the deal. I don't care about the movie. From what I heard, the reviews, I haven't seen it and won't see it, but what I've heard about the reviews, the movie's not very good. It's like a rated R movie, and it would be nothing unlike stuff that you've already seen on TV before, on HBO or something else. And I'm not encouraging that. I'm just saying that's not the problem to me. You know what the problem to me is? It's the 100 million copies of the books that have been sold. Do you know why? Because many, many people say that men are visual and women are verbal or emotional, but that's not necessarily true. Men are visual with our eyes, and that's a big appeal to us, the physical viewing, but women are visual with their minds. So when you read that erotica book, 50 Shades of Grey, you're not just reading on the pages. You're bringing those images into your mind so that you can engage yourself in that emotional connection, even sexual connection to that book. And so you're seeing it in your mind. And hear me, what you see in pornography and what you create in your mind through those books never leave. And it's a cheap way for intimacy when you ought to be engaging in that kind of stuff with your husband. And dude, guys, if you're reading that book, I don't even know what to tell you, all right? Just, I got nothing for you. All right, two very quickly, and we got to wrap it up. Two more. Number four is abuse. An intimacy thief in the marriage relationship is abuse. And here's what I want to say about this. I'm not trying to shortcut it because it's not important. It doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. If you're abusing your spouse, husbands or wife, sexually, physically, verbally, or emotionally, is totally inappropriate, and it must stop in your relationship. There is no excuse for devaluing your spouse and treating them like an object. They are a person created in the image of God, and abuse is absolutely inappropriate in a relationship. I found a lot of couples struggling with abuse. There's no way that the spouse who is being abused is going to offer themselves to you in any real way. Whatever they offer to you is mechanical and it is out of fear, and it's not because they truly desire to be with you. If you're abusing your spouse in any way, it must end. Intimacy will never happen in your relationship if there's abuse in your home. And you'll miss the greatest blessing God gives to the family, which is oneness. Lastly, number five, walls. Here's the truth. Some of us in the room right now, in our marriage relationships, we are looking over and around our spouse, never peering deep within their heart. Right now, some of us are so insecure, we are so filled with bitterness or anger or resentment, we're so calloused, we're so hardened, that no one ever looks in deep in our heart because we won't let them, and we never choose to look deep within our spouse's heart. You are walled off, you are closed off, and your spouse is dying to get to know you, dying to reveal the truth. The true her, the true him, and you never allow them in. You are walled off from them. And if that's you here today and you are not allowing your spouse in, or you are not allowing yourself to give yourself over to your spouse and look into her heart or his heart, hear me, a couple things. Number one, if you're married to someone who has walled himself off, hear me, you will do yourself a huge injustice if you continue to press and press and press and press and press. It's called nagging, and it actually does exactly the opposite from what you want. So if you're married to someone that's a wall who will not allow you in, here's what I would say. Number one, I would say this. This is where you can be a huge blessing to them by saying these kinds of things. Hey, I just want you to know when you're ready, I'd love to sit down and talk. When you're ready, no pressure from me, but I'd love to sit down at some point and just spend a little bit of time talking about us. I think you can also say things like this. Hey, listen, I love you. I know God has great plans for our marriage relationship. I know he does. I'm so thankful I'm with you. You may not mean that in the depths of your being, but you speaking life into them in those moments is so critical for them as they're walled off. If you're the person that is walled off this morning, hear me. And by the way, if you're married to someone like that, I would encourage you to commit that to prayer and even fasting. It's a great thing to commit to God. God, would you please help me to be an avenue by which I can help break down the walls in my spouse's life? If you are the person walled off this morning, I just want you to hear this today. Hear me. If you're the walled off person, you think that you're protecting yourself by being walled off, but it's a lie. You're creating a prison for yourself because you are living totally against what God has destined and designed for you in a marriage relationship. So today I want to encourage you, if you're walled off from your spouse, to step out of that prison of walling yourself off in your insecurities and your brokenness and bitterness and callousness. And present yourself first before God and say, God, I need healing in here. Be willing to go to someone, a counselor, a friend, a pastor, and say, I don't want to live in this prison of insecurity and bitterness and anger. I long to get outside of this so that I can be what I need to be for my spouse. I'm going to encourage you to get outside of that. God's greatest purpose for our marriage is oneness. I'm going to ask you today to do the courageous step to stop letting these things rob your marriage relationship of intimacy and start overcoming them through the power of God working in your life today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning?
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solidchurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solacechurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.